Hello, everybody. It's not comedy yet. Although I did inject humour into what is a very serious subject. It's about the way people think and their thought processes. And I've simplified it down to a very narrow band of how it works. And with everything in the world, if we always look at the detail, it's really complicated. And if we look at the big picture, then it's a concept we can all take on board. And as soon as we start looking at the details, we find things we can argue about. That's true or that's not true or that's not right or whatever. But at the conceptual level, we can all agree on things. We can all agree we shouldn't be wars. We can all agree that the purpose of life is to be happy and joyous. And we can do things like that. So I work at the big concept level. I do a lot of detailed study, but that's so that you don't have to. Right? So I'll explain how it works, and this is how your brain works. So this is about controlling your thoughts easily, and it's applicable to all age groups. Okay. So, I apologise to anybody who's heard me before, but there's some basic concepts I have to cover each time I give a talk, without which you won't understand the rest of the talk. But I think you all know about the issues that I'm talking about, these thoughts that keep coming back to you that hurt you. Nobody wants to get rid of joy or anything. So what I'm going to talk about is the problematic thoughts that you have. This is not just the normal thoughts, this is the ones that keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. And the thing about when you have thoughts or nightmares or something that you keep returning to, what you need to do is actually say, this is the last time I'm going to visit this and deal with it fully. Because the way the brain works is, if you've got something in there that's unfinished business, it will forever keep looking for the answer for you. Now, that sounds quite bad. You can use that to good use. You can actually pose a question that's good for you, like, what keeps me slim? What is it that keeps me slim? And your brain will keep looking for what is it that keeps you slim. And then when you go to eat the wrong thing, it will go, well, it's not that that keeps you slim, and it won't let you eat it. So you can actually use these questions to good use. And most people till now haven't realised that. But we all know that the more we think about something, the more we think about it, and if it upsets us, then we get ourselves in a state. But thoughts are not real. So any thought you have now about something that's already happened, you're actually travelling back into the past. You're reliving something in the past. Now, you can choose not to go into the past. But what usually happens is, we get this thing where we're just doing everyday things, and suddenly we feel anxious, or we feel upset. Sometimes it's joy, but we never talk about that. And this sudden feeling comes on, and suddenly we're down, and it's like, what on earth brought that on? And then we start with people, and all sorts of things happen. And this is because we've had a thing called an association. And an association is just something that when we think about anything, we attach all the things that happened around it. So, if you have an evil auntie Doris, who clipped you around the head when you were young for no apparent reason, and she wore a certain perfume, all you need is somebody to walk past wearing that perfume, and suddenly you're waiting to be smacked in the back of the head. Right? And because the connection's there. It might be a few seconds later you suddenly realise, oh, that's the smell of Auntie Doris you have. But your unconscious brain is far faster than your conscious brain. So by the time you've recognised that it's Auntie Doris you smell, it's too late. You've already pumped these chemicals around your body that put you in a state of fright or flight. And you're in that anxious, tense state of, should I run, should I do something? Something's about to happen, that's terrible. So that chemical coursing through your system is not a great time to cure yourself. Okay? So if you've already got there, then you can learn coping techniques. And most of the time when you see people for therapy, they'll patch you up for something. They'll take the little thing that you've come with and they'll say, right, let's put a good plaster on that, and you'll go away feeling better, and somebody cares, and they've put the plaster on it. But eventually the plaster drops off. If you haven't fixed the original thing, that thought pattern that got you there in the first place. The trouble with thoughts is, thoughts, things in the head and the body, you can't separate out. The two are absolutely linked. You cannot have an illness and say, all right, this is not in my head, this is a physical illness. Or you can't say, this is all in my head, it's not a physical illness, because one leads to the other. Anything you think about, your unconscious tries to get for you. Now, if you phrase anything in a negative way, so I do like my chocolate biscuit story, so I think, forgive me if you've heard it before, but if you're on a diet and you're on a settee and you suddenly think, oh, there's some chocolate biscuits in the cupboard, at first you have a, oh, whoopee, so now I'm talking about chocolate biscuits. Right. So you think about chocolate biscuits, you can almost taste the chocolate biscuit, you know you're going to enjoy it, but a split second later you do the realisation of, I'm on a diet, and you go, no, if I have a chocolate biscuit, I'm repeating it. So you go, no, I mustn't have a chocolate biscuit. Now, what are you thinking about if you think, I mustn't have a chocolate biscuit? What are you actually thinking about? You're not thinking about not having a chocolate biscuit, because there's no way you can think and visualise not having a chocolate biscuit. You know, it's not like those cartoons where you have a little X to it and you know, it's not that. Right? You're still thinking about chocolate biscuit, but you just put mustn't have in front of it. So you sat there and you say a dozen times, no, I mustn't have a chocolate biscuit, mustn't have a chocolate biscuit, and you feel yourself getting up going, no, I mustn't go to the kitchen. Mustn't go to the kitchen, and you get in the kitchen, and then you get, I mustn't have this cupboard now with the chocolate biscuits in it. And you go, I'll just have the one there. I'll just have the one. I mustn't eat the whole packet. So what am I going to do? I'll eat the whole packet. Right, so now I'm doing the, I mustn't eat the whole packet, mustn't eat the whole packet, mustn't eat the whole packet, mustn't eat the whole packet. Oh, I've eaten the whole packet. At least I didn't start the next packet. What am I going to do now? Start the next packet, you see? You're there. So you start the next packet. All because you're directing yourself to something that you don't want, not what you do want. So when you get these terrible thoughts that come into your head and are negative, and you actually say, oh, right, yeah, oh, let's talk about relationships. Oh, I'm in this relationship, oh, I think it's going to fail. I think we're going to break up. Oh, God, I've got to stop breaking up. And then you'll come up with all the things that will happen if it breaks up. So you'll be thinking about the financial side of it. Who's going to own the cat? You don't have to own the cat. Who's going to own the dog? And so on. You'll be working out all the technical details. So everything you're thinking about is splitting up. Now, what's the opposite? What's the exact opposite of splitting up? Anybody? Two pressure. I'll easily get you to forget your name by the end of the day. Right. The opposite of splitting up is when you first met. And look at the difference between the two things. When you first meet people, you go out of your way to impress them, to treat them, to give them compliments, to do the whole lot. And they do the same back. And it's a sort of self-reflective thing. Because if one does, the other one does, and so on. And eventually we stop doing that. Or we give somebody a compliment, and they go, oh, no, not this. No, that's not. And next time you say, you get the other one in there, and you think, well, I won't say anything wrong. So bit by bit, we lose the bits that drew us together. And then when we get to the bit where we're not sure if we're going to split up, if your thoughts are about splitting up, it's exactly what we'll do. Whatever you think about, your unconscious will get for you. Now, the unconscious works in such a way that it gets a lot of stick, it gets a lot of bad press. Because we have these bad negative thoughts, we either think, well, that's my voice, so that's me telling me, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm whatever. and not worthy is the usual thing. If you think that, then you think you have to take notice of it, because that's you telling you. But I can tell you now, you'll never hear this anywhere else, any negative thought you're getting in your head is not you. And it's not your unconscious. It's a program that was put in there at some time when you were younger. And it's running in the background. And because it runs in the background at this unconscious level, it springs up when it feels it's appropriate. So the association comes again, somebody says something to you, and this is when this comes out. So this is how your brain works. You have all your old baggies in there. Very good metaphor. You have everything that's going around, and everything you know about life is on that conveyor belt. And because we're only talking about bad things today, the good things are on there as well. Okay, but we're talking about the bad things today. So anything that you've done in the past that's unfinished business is on this conveyor belt going around. And so when something new happens, to save having to think of how things work every minute of every day, we have all these programs. So you came in this room today, and you sat on that chair, and you've never seen that chair before. But you knew it was a chair, you knew what to do with it. And if you saw a different shaped chair, you'd know what to do on that. Because you'd go, chair, this is what we're doing with a chair, I sit on it. Yeah? It's as simple as that. But our brain does the same for absolutely everything. Because we're taking in so much information all the time, it has to work out what we know, what we don't know, and what could be a danger to us. So when we're in a relationship and somebody says something to us that hurts us, we actually don't just react to that thing they just said. And it might be they've said something that week earlier, that week and so on, and it's built up to this, and it's like a stacking system. So you're now gathering up all these things, and come across that before, didn't like that last time. And so you open up, this emotional suitcase comes around, and you open it up, and you put the new thing in with it, and you stir around all the old things to see how it matches with them. So you stir up every bad thing that's ever been said to you, as though the person that's just said it has just said all those things. So you now attach this one thing that that person said, and you attach it to everything in there. So your head is full of things, like suitcases going on holiday. So can you imagine if you went to Greece one year, and Spain, and Iceland, and, yeah, because all mums go to Iceland. And it's all on that conveyor belt, and you've got all that running around. Now, if I sent you to the airport now, and you didn't know where you were going, you'd have to take, like, clothes in case it's warm, please, in case it's cold, and so on. You wouldn't take clothes that don't fit you anymore, but out of date, that you would never be seen dead in. You'd leave them all behind. But in your head is every particle of clothing that you've ever owned, and you're still carrying it around with you everywhere. And that's the equivalent of going to the airport with every single case you've ever packed, every other one you've ever done. And we never have a tidy up in our head. We never clear it out. And the issue is that because your brain can't finish with anything until it's tidied up and tied all the loose ends, it will continue giving you the same message over and over again. This is why we have nightmares that are repetitive. This is why we have thoughts that are repetitive. This is why we have low self-worth. Because at one stage somebody's told us something and we thought, well, I'm not worthy. And you keep repeating it to yourself. And if you keep repeating it to yourself, what does your brain understand? On the basis that you get what you think about, if you keep thinking you're a bad person, or ugly, or fat, or evil, or terrible, what will you be? Right? You just take that on board. And you say terrible things to yourself, or your unconscious program tells you terrible things, that if you said it to a friend, you'd be very surprised if it didn't slap you. If you said the same things to a friend that you say to you, they'd hit you. And they'd be well within their rights to do so. And yet we continue to do that. And we're brought up not to brag. We're brought up not to blow our own trumpet, not to say we're clever, not to show off, So we hide all the things we're good at, but we're quite happy to point out every single thing we're bad at. And I was on a dating scene for a while, and every single woman I took on a date told me everything that was wrong with it on the first date. Right? And I would think, this is a very attractive woman, but she came on, how about the mold? My jaw would have knocked her on the side. Yeah, and that's a little tweet. My toenails were terrible, and they told me all this rubbish. Right? So what does that say? What are you actually saying when you tell someone everything bad about you, you don't tell them anything? You might as well start off with an absolute, and then work your way from there. But that's what we're doing in our head. And like I say, everything you think about, the unconscious brain tries to find the relevant program and says, I'll try and get you that. So let's switch this over. If you think about something that you want, and you really want it with every fiber of your being, somehow you'll get it. It will come into your life. Law of attraction and all this, it does work, but it works. There was a film called The Secret, and he actually missed the secret after The Secret. But you cannot convince your unconscious that you want something by telling it a lie. It just doesn't work. It will gradually, the hope is that you gradually wear it out. So, you know, if I was 28 stone now and I said, I'm slim, I'm really slim, my unconscious at first will go, so it's not working on it. But if I hammer it to death, eventually, okay, you're slim, I know it's not true, but you're slim. That doesn't really help me in any way, shape, or form. So there's things called affirmations, and then there's a guy who brought it out there called affirmations, where he used the valuable fact that I just told you a few minutes ago, that the brain finishes off things for you. So if you give it a question, it will look for the answer, good or bad. So if you phrase it like, I don't want to break up with my partner, it'll try and find a way to break it apart. But if you say, I've got this problem at work, or I've got this maths problem, or I don't know how to put, I'm going to write somebody a letter, I don't know how to put it, if you actually, before you go to bed at night, you say, okay, this is what I want to achieve with this. I don't know how to do it, but I'll leave you in. This is like a very busy person. It's working your heart, your lungs, and everything. It runs everything for you, and it runs 99.9% of your life without you realizing it. We think very little. Most of the things we do on automatic. The bit we think we're clever. We think, oh yeah, well, all these things. But your unconscious, it's your unconscious that's running all that. We only get to direct it. But we have to direct it in the right way. So to talk to your unconscious, and this is what I'm going to come to, and how are we doing for time, everybody? Because I want to do some exercise, buddy.
Maybe I'll just
do. Brilliant. Okay. So the way to talk to your unconscious is, it's like a gatekeeper between the conscious and the unconscious. There's a gatekeeper there. And it does all this association thing, so it looks at everything you do and goes, what's the right reaction for this? This is why I call it respondability, which is not on any of my panels, but it's on the one downstairs. Because it's about being able to respond in the way that you want to rather than the way that you give. So it looks, everything you do, it's looking for the danger, it's looking for the opportunity, it's looking for everything. So it's trying to filter things out of what you already know. So it's always comparing everything with what we already know in a program that's running within you. So most of those programs are good. We could walk, we could talk, we could do anything without these programs, we could sit and share that program. But sometimes we have a program that's doing us no good whatsoever. The thing is, though, it's protected us all our life. So if you had something when you were younger, like evil Auntie Doris who clips you around the ear, eventually you learn to duck, right? And so part of it is, that's not that thing, that's Auntie Doris, head goes down, right? And look, it's time, right? It just, you missed clipping in there. But it's always doing something like that. It's looking out for the problem, the danger. And sometimes we're just anxious, and we're anxious all the time, because of something that happened to us in the past, and we're still trapped in it. We're not sure what it is, but we know there's something about to happen. Right? So we get this anxiety about, and you just feel bad, you just feel awful. It's like having a hangover all the time. You want to know anything about it. So this is how the brain works. So your conscious is only there to direct your unconscious. Your unconscious can only run the programs it's got. That's really clever, and it could make up new programs, but it would have to have your permission to do so. So when it's got an old faulty program running, if you actually talk to it, bearing in mind it now knows that whenever you started with this, take that off your age, and that's how long you've had this program, it goes, well, you survived this long with it, you can keep it. What's the alternative? Then you don't give it an alternative, it goes, well, I'm sticking with this though. That anxiety is great because Antidorus might come back from the grave and might hit you around the head, so I need to be able to do it. In which case, you're still. But if you realise Antidorus is dead now and you don't want to keep wanting to do that, then you can change it. But you need to talk to it right. So when you talk to your unconscious, you treat it like a very clever child of yours that you love absolutely. It will never, ever do you any harm. Your unconscious is not the one sending you all these bad messages. It's running a program that has the bad message in it, but you installed it at some time. That doesn't mean you're to blame for it. It means you misunderstood something, or you were told something as a child, or you were shown something as a child, or something happened to you that you then learned a certain thing from, but you're still running that program. So to release it, you have to talk to your unconscious. You have to start with a bit of praise for it and say, you know, oh great unconscious, you know, you're doing all these things here, you're running my heart, my lungs, and my stomach, and my pH balance, and everything. You're running all that, all at the same time. And ask all these other things of you, and you do all of them. However, we've got just this one problem we want to sort it out. Not your fault. Right? Not your fault. But I want you to change this program because it's hurting me. Right? And it doesn't matter how it got there, or who put it in, or whatever. You want to change that program because it's doing you more harm than good. And your unconscious will not allow anything to do you more harm than good. If you've got something in there that's hurting you, then it must think that the alternative is terrible, like death. So I had claustrophobia at one stage. And I had a massive attack about just over a year ago, and I finally sorted it out. But for 4 hours, I was in such a state, I was suicidal, I thought my heart would come out of my chest. I literally thought it would come out of my chest. It was that bad. And in the end, when all the chemicals had subsided, because there's not a lot you can do while you're in that state, I even thought I couldn't help people anymore, because I couldn't imagine how bad that felt. I had to go to work myself to understand how that happened. But within 2 minutes, I bargained with my unconscious. And the bargain was, I worked out how I got this sort of fear. It was a totally irrational fear. And I said, right, I've worked out how I got this fear. I've worked out what triggered it off this time. My father had collapsed in a restaurant and I had to do a resuscitation. I thought he'd die. So there was a chain of events the week before. And I just went to my unconscious and I said, look, the thing that you've just given me is to keep me out of confined spaces. However, the confined space I was in had plenty of fresh air around it. There was no way I could die just by being in a confined space. You must think I would be out of oxygen or something, but that's not the case. However, the thing you gave me to keep me out of that confined space was likely to kill me. If I have that again, my heart might give up. Or I'm on top of myself because it was just so horrendous. And how it would change my life was horrendous. So I said, I want you to find every association that's associated with this fear of confined space and switch it off. And I said, as soon as you've done it, I'm going to sleep. And I did it. I was asleep in 2 minutes. I'd been in a terrible state before, and in 2 minutes I was fast asleep. Woke up the next day, went home, shut myself in a cupboard, I'll test this. 5 minutes in a cupboard. I was looking up and down, and it was light, top and bottom of the door, so I know I got fresh air. So I'm fine in this cupboard, and that is the thing I couldn't have even thought of doing before. So I'm in this cupboard, and I thought, okay, time to come out, I prove my point. It's all right, you jump. I did a few seconds. And the moment I calmed down again, it was like, so you can talk to unconscious, but you have to talk it to it in such a way that it understands that what it's doing to you is worse than the effects of what it thinks might happen to you. I'll give you a really good example, and there's probably at least one person in the room with this. NA, fibromyalgia, or chronic fatigue syndrome. I've helped people escape from that just by understanding that what they're doing is they're overdriving themselves all the time. People who have these conditions aren't lazy at all, they're the exact opposite of lazy. They drive and drive and drive themselves until their unconscious says, if you carry on at that pace, this will kill you. And it switches them off bit by bit by bit. And it gives them pain, absolute agony, and it gives them such severe tiredness and fatigue that they can't move. How better to save your energy and not kill you? So actually, I have to get people to thank their unconscious for making them have severe pain and chronic fatigue. Right? And as soon as they do, and as soon as they stop trying to do too much, they'll let go. But I've even done bargains with unconscious, as I said, and if they start doing it again, you can give them it back again. And I had somebody last week who I actually turned fibromyalgia off, turned the pain off. She's under that same bargain, so if you stop doing too much, you're going to give it back. So you can do almost anything with your unconscious. You just have to understand it's not got a malicious bone in its body. It will do everything possible for you. But if you're asking for the wrong thing, it will get you the wrong thing. If you're thinking about the wrong thing, you're making a mental image of it, you don't like school, and you know this is going to happen at all, and you imagine all these terrible things, you're more likely to bring them into your life. Because you react differently as well. Okay, I'm going to do an exercise. There's so much activity. We're going to do an exercise now. And what I'd like you to do is, can you all think of something negative? Okay? Can you think of something negative? Yeah? Can you think of something negative? Something you don't like?
Non-verbal reasoning next week,
Saturday.
I did my verbal today.
Right. Before I came. I don't even understand what you're saying. Yes. So that's all about body language and you're getting people to do things. Right. So, what I want you to all do is put your hand out like that. Right. I want you to think that you've got negative written across the palm of your hand. Okay. So just think of that negative thing for a few seconds. Right? Imagine it on your hand. Now, what I'd like you to do is, just initially, I just want you to do that and flick it off. Okay? Now, look at the back of your hand. I want you to imagine positive written on the back of your hand. So, we have a negative, and then when we get rid of it, we have to look at the positive. So if you're thinking of something negative, I want you to think of the exact opposite and work out what positive is. Okay? Now, sometimes that's easy. Right? Just think of exactly the reverse of it, and you've got the positive. So if you've got the positive now, that's fine. If anybody can't find a positive from the negative and they don't want to say it, then you tell them what it is. You got one. Good. Okay.
I've got a positive, but negative keeps creeping in.
Oh, that's fine, because that's what you're going to do now. So, there's a lot left for your technique in this, but how long have we got? We might have time.
10 to 15 minutes.
Right, okay. Shall we do the big one for this? Okay, because if you've got something really negative, it might get rid of it in this go. We all want to have a go at that. If it's something too big, just think of something less. Right? Okay, but what I want you to do now, put your hand out, you can even rest it if you like. Okay, so, you know, wait a minute. Now, as you're there, I want to put all your concentration into this, and I want you to put all your different senses into it. So I want you to put your hand there, cup your hands as though it would hold something there. So this thing's not going to roll off. And I want you to visualise it on your hand now. I want you to take it out of your head, that terrible thing that you don't want. And I want you to visualise it in your hand. And I want you to give it a colour. So visualise it there with a colour. And now I want you to bring your sense of touch in. I want you to feel it and feel the texture of it. Is it soft or hard or sharp? Or is it like rough like sandpaper? So you've got a colour, a texture. I want you to give it a smell. I want you to give it a sound. And I want you to put all that words in your hands and just hold it away from your head, right? Now, we're going to do a little test. This feeling that you've got in your hand now, it should feel a little bit better because it's heavy. Feel the weight of it as well. Is it light, heavy? What is it? Okay. Now, I want you to take your hand as far away from you as you can. Don't put it to your partner next to you. Oh, that's going to be telling you. Okay. And I just want you to move it backwards and forwards near your head and notice that when you put it near you, it affects you. And when you take it away, it actually goes further away from you. Is everybody feeling that? Just get your feelings and your senses. Just notice the difference. That when it's close to you, it's nearly back in your head. You can nearly pop it back in there, it feels bad. And when you take it further away, it feels better and better and better. Okay? So, bearing in mind that you know the positive of it now, what I want you to do is look at that thing, right, give it all its qualities, the weight, the texture, the colour and everything else. And I'm going to be an idea, and I want you to throw it away as fast as you can. Okay. Right, now we're going to do this quickly. So I want you to pop your hand out. Look at it. Put the thing on there. Give it away, texture, colour and everything else. Throw it away. Pop your hand out. Put it there again. Weight, texture, everything else. Notice it's not as big or as strong or as colourful as it used to be. Throw it away. Put it in your hand. Throw it away. Put it in your hand. Throw it away. Put your hand. Throw it away. Put your hand. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. Okay, put your hand down there. Try and think of that bad thing. Can you get it back? Can anybody get it back? If you can get it back, is it as bad? It's almost gone. Just a few more throws. It's all right. You see, the whole thing about sometimes in healing, people take the pain off you and take it on themselves. Terrible idea. Right? I take people's pain away and I throw it away. Who wants it? Who wants that? Nobody wants pain. Throw it away. Right? So when you get it, just throw it away. So this is a technique you can use now. What you might notice is, if you do this on a regular basis, but I don't want you to get paranoid about, oh, another bad thought, another negative thought. But if there's one that keeps repeating, I can guarantee you it will come back forever until you've dealt with it. It's very similar to somebody knocking on your door, seeing that you're in, and they've got a parcel for you. And they knock on the door and you go, parcel! And you ignore them, and they go, parcel! And they kick on the door, and they hammer on the window. They'll keep doing that until they get your notice. But if they come to the door and you finally answer it, and they talk in gibberish, you're going to say, well, can you send somebody else who's got a message for me? I don't understand you. And you can do the same with your brain. If it gives you a message or pain or anything that's repetitive that you don't need in your life, ask it to come back in a different format. Just say, look, I'd love to learn from this, but I don't understand you. Give me it again in a format I can understand. And it will, because that's its job. If it's trying to give you a message, it will keep coming back and giving you that message until you've dealt with it. But you have to deal with it properly. Now, that's a whole other topic, is about analysing things and getting the right lesson from it. Right? Not making a one single judgment like I was wrong, they were wrong, or whatever. It's about saying, what can I learn from this? That if the same thing happened again, it wouldn't hurt me as much. But it's not switch my heart off. The more open the heart you have, the more love you get. Love is about giving it out, and then you'll receive knowing that. It's not about thinking about receiving it, it's about sending it out. And if you send out love, you will get more than you can ever think of. I've been Stephen Blunt, you've been wonderful. Please come in and fill your forms at the back of the room, and I don't think I've got many slots left, have I? But if you want to come see me later, or give me a call and talk about your particular issue, and I'll see what I can do for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.